As stories of child abuse continue to emerge from the Mormon community, one theme has been consistent. Many leaders in The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints treat abuse primarily as a sin that can be overcome. But as KUER's Lee Hale reports, that perspective can be problematic.
Christy Johnson's father molested and raped her, along with her two sisters, throughout their teen and childhood years. During much of that time, her father, Melvin K. Johnson, was employed by the LDS Church as a full-time seminary and institute instructor, teaching religious education to Mormon teens and young adults. Christy says that whenever she or her mother told their Mormon bishop about the abuse, the church would transfer her father to a new job in a new city. Law enforcement was not involved.
It never occurred to me to go to the police. It just never entered my mind. Because of being raised Mormon, these bishops and leaders are, you know, like God. They speak for God.
Christy spoke at a press conference in late June. She's gone to great lengths to share her story. Last month, she sued her father, filing a federal lawsuit in Utah. And she appeared in the recent short documentary, Glass Temples. In the documentary, Christy talks about how her father, who has now admitted to the abuse, skirted around church and criminal punishment for years. He was eventually excommunicated or removed from the LDS Church in 1986, but shortly after, he convinced his leaders that he had repented and was welcomed back in. Included in the film was a phone call between Christy and her father, discussing his re-baptism.
That means that they're satisfied that you've made enough changes.
But how do they know if they don't ask your victim?
Well, see, what could they ask you?
The church treated this as a matter of sin only, as an ecclesiastical matter.
Craig Vernon is Christy's attorney. Through the lawsuit, he and Christy are advocating for changes to church policy. Vernon says that the idea that an abuser can repent, that they can change and be forgiven, he says that's outside of the LDS Church's jurisdiction.
Bishops should be relieved of that duty, frankly. I feel bad for bishops. They shouldn't have to be in between all this.
But bishops often are. In an interview last month with KUER, one of the LDS Church's top leaders, Apostle Ulysses Suarez, responded to a question about how the church handles abuse.
When it becomes to light, the church acts and tries to help and support the one who has been abused and the one who has abused.
This is right in line with church policy, to attend to both the abused and the abuser. In Christy Johnson's experience, her bishops and church leaders acted as mediators. It was up to them to decide how her father should be disciplined.
And sometimes discipline is to help the person who fall on this kind of behavior to repent, to change. We are interested in him as we are interested in the ones who have been abused.
It's not something that somebody can stop just because they want to stop or because they've been caught. They need help and they need a lot of support.
April Carlson is a social worker and therapist based in Salt Lake City. But before that, she worked for the Department of Child and Family Services in Los Angeles. Carlson, who's also Mormon, would show up to homes where abuse had been reported, alongside police.
Most child molesters that I met, and I met and interviewed hundreds, were very clean-cut, charming people that I never would have guessed were molesting children.
Carlson says she had to follow a script when interviewing children, so she wouldn't be swayed by an abuser's charisma or the surroundings. Her concern is that bishops, who are often friends with the abuser, don't have the emotional distance or the adequate training to offer effective help.
They've played basketball together. Their kids have grown up together. You have so many things in common. You don't want to imagine that this kind person who you like in so many different aspects could be doing this horrible thing that you would never do.
Child abuse isn't just a sin. It's a crime that Carlson says needs intense intervention if real change is going to happen. That means months, if not years, of clinical help, along with periods of enforced separation, sometimes even imprisonment.
The problem is that a lot of people who are being forced to change because they're committing crimes and they don't want to go to jail want to use the bishop in lieu of effective treatment.
Carlson says this makes it complicated. You're throwing church leaders, who believe they have God's authority, into the mix. And once abusers are told that they've been forgiven in God's eyes, what motivation do they have to change? Lee Hale, KUER News.